everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
We do have open lines at 844-322-2742. Richard, you and I have a great program on the agenda today.
Yes.
Lots of great questions that we're going to ask. I know if you're a human being, some of these questions are going to be important to you to hear the answer. So we're glad you're with us today. If you have another question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, call right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We've been talking about resurrection, the resurrection story, all month. And one of the things that the Gospels and the letters of Paul talk about is the resurrection of the body. Mm-hmm. And we all have questions as to what that body is going to look like, what it's going to be like. Will we be able to recognize one another? That's a big question that a lot of people ask. Will we be able to recognize one another when we get to heaven? And then when we are with the Lord forever in this new Jerusalem? And today we want to walk you through 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 35, and we're just going to look at some highlights. And Richard, why don't you walk us through this passage and answer these questions that Paul raises in this letter. How are the dead raised, and with what kind of body will they come?
Okay, so let's set context a little bit. You've heard us talk about parts of 1 Corinthians 15 many, many times. Right at the beginning of this chapter is the definition of the gospel that saves, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Then he moves into talking about why the resurrection of Jesus is so important, the biggest conclusion being, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we're still in our sins. Well, that's a wonderful reason, but it doesn't give you the forward-looking view. And from 35 on, he's giving us the forward-looking view. Why do we have such hope in this resurrection? And he asked the question right off. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? And he answers it with a surprising statement. You foolish person.
Yes.
I think we may be thinking about the wrong thing here. And what he says is, what you sow is not the body that will be. And he compares it to sowing grain, for example. You plant a kernel of corn. And you see this little kernel of corn. And the plant that comes up looks nothing like that kernel until you have the full ear of the corn, and then the process starts over again here on earth. And so he's using that to compare, you know, what we are buried as, physical bodies, is not what we're going to be raised as. And he moves on in verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. Big difference. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. That's important. And what he's saying to us here is that just as Jesus died and was buried and was raised again, so we eventually will be the same. Now, we've already been raised spiritually. As soon as we accepted Jesus, we got the Holy Spirit, we were born again, we were created anew from the inside out, but we're walking around with this flesh.
Yes.
The flesh and blood and bone, and it's getting old and it's falling apart. But what's going to happen? We're going to get new bodies. And so he compares, like he does in many places, he compares Adam and Jesus. Where Adam was the natural, he sinned, he failed, we inherited his failure, and now we're natural because we inherited Adam, and all we are doing is dying our whole lives. We're born to die.
Yes.
Physically. And because Jesus has taken care of the sin problem, we're not destined to die completely physical. We're destined to raise physically. And then he gets into this in verse 50 and onward. And, you know, this is an important thing. Flesh and blood, that is, those of us that recognize what we are, human beings. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Something is going to have to change here.
Yes, indeed.
The perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. So what is a mystery? A mystery is one of those things that has been hidden for ages, but God has revealed to us in Christ initially, and then through the letters of Paul and John and Peter and the rest as we move forward into this new covenant. So we shall not all sleep. That means not every one of us will die, but every one of us, whether we die or whether we're alive when Jesus comes, will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus modeled this for us.
And he's the first fruit.
He's the first fruits from the dead. He's talked about that in the first part of this chapter. He modeled this for us. He's going to give this to us. I mean, when we talk about being fellow heirs with Christ, this is one of the things that we inherit. Even if we don't die physically, we're still alive when Jesus returns. Every one of us, those who are raised from the dead and those of us who are alive and raised from the dead, are going to get new bodies.
Brand spanking new.
Brand new bodies.
Yes.
Completely different than anything we can imagine. And that's the problem. We can't imagine this body. We know Jesus was special. We know that he could just show up in a room. We don't know how that's going to work for you and me. But we know that we will recognize him and he will recognize us. I would assume, although the Bible doesn't tell us this, that we will recognize one another.
Yes.
Okay. All we know, and I had a friend ask me this morning, you know, in Matthew, where Jesus says, well, don't you realize that we won't be marrying and giving in marriage in heaven? You know, oh, my, what was that all about? And the fact is, we don't know what that means. We know that whatever Jesus brings us is going to be better than anything we have here. And we say, praise God. Praise Jesus. This is our guaranteed hope. I will no longer have to deal with the things that I deal with now, with allergies and arthritis and anything else that bother you. Illness, none of that stuff is going to exist because of Jesus and his resurrection. We get to be resurrected again with him to live imperishably.
Yes, indeed. Well, and I love how he opened this section that when you plant, when you sow a seed, mm-hmm. that seed dies in the ground, and then life flows from it. So we see the story, the death, the burial, mm-hmm. the resurrection. So Christ, it happened to Jesus. He died physically. His body was buried, and then he was raised back to life. We experience that spiritually here and now. We die in Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're buried with him. We're raised to walk in the newness of life. That's right now. And newness of life is through faith in Jesus Christ. Then it's going to happen for these bodies. It's sowed into the ground, dead, mm-hmm. and buried. And then from that is going to come a brand new resurrected body, death, burial, and resurrection. Yes. And the story is completed for us. Mm-hmm. And boy, is that great news. And it is one of those shout from the rooftop, hallelujah, hope that we have in Jesus Christ.
And it is hope, because hope for us in Christ is a guarantee.
Guaranteed indeed. Well, thank you, Richard, for walking us through that. It's a very important topic. It is the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher with Richard Pfeiffer today, and we have a wonderful resource talking about resurrection. It's called Proof, Resurrection. And we look at the evidence of the resurrection, mm-hmm. and I think we end this with the great hope of being raised and being with Jesus forever. So it is a wonderful resource that we want to put into your hands, and it's yours with your gift to Basic Gospel this month. It's our way of saying thank you for being a part of the Basic Gospel financial team. All the information on how you can request this valuable resource is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. We have a big banner right on the front page. You can click that or click the donate button. Either will get you to the right page. Follow the instructions. Give generously this month in honor of the death, burial, and resurrection. And we want to say thank you by sending you this great resource, Proof the Resurrection.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. We still have some open lines at 844-322-2742. If you have a question that you would like to ask on today's broadcast, do so right now. Let's get as many questions as we possibly can on today's program. 844-322-2742. We're going to start today in Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this, and I'm grappling with it. It says nobody seeks God, and I thought there were times in my life where I sought him, and Moses, I definitely thought Moses had sought him, so I'd like you to explain it and where it is in the Bible.
Well, the passage is in Romans chapter 3, and it starts with this: what then, are we Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So that's an Old Testament passage that Paul has brought forward into his argument to prove Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we know that there's something missing, and we're seeking answers for that, but we don't know that the answer is Jesus Christ until Jesus is revealed to us. And that's what Paul is saying in this entire book of Romans, is we have a problem, we understand that there's a problem, and we want an answer. Well, we have to wait for God to reveal himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ for that answer to show up. And so we're not seeking Jesus. We're just seeking a solution to our problem. And we can't even really articulate what our problem is. We just know something's wrong. So, Mary Jo, you might have felt an emptiness. You might have felt like there was a hole inside your heart that you couldn't fill up. And then when the gospel message came to you, when you heard about Jesus, when you heard about his death, his burial, his resurrection, then there was a connection. Hey, he's the solution. He's the answer. He's the one I've been searching for. I didn't even know who I was searching for. And now I realize it's Jesus, and that it was really God who has manifested himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So this is just describing our condition apart from Christ. And it's a pretty bleak condition, isn't it? Spiritual death is just horrendous. That's why the grace of God is so precious to us, because by grace he initiated. He came seeking after us and found us. And when we saw him face to face in the person of Jesus Christ, we responded in faith. It's that by grace through faith in Jesus reality. So does that make sense, Mary Jo?
It makes some sense, but I just thought in times in my life that I had sought him because my parents had me in church.
So you had a knowledge of God. You that was given to you, and so you know you were prompted by some external sources, and you say, if he exists, I want to know him. So I think that's part of that journey. But what he's saying here is that it's God that's really doing the seeking, and he makes himself, he reveals himself to us in the person of Christ.
Yeah.
So we're sinners. We need God to do something on our behalf, and that's what this passage is all about. It's saying that God has done something on our behalf in the person of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mary Jo. You always ask great questions, and we sure appreciate that one.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's go up to Kansas and talk to Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
We're doing okay. What's on your mind today?
So I had a thought come to me. So when we're talking about people that die go from a perishable body or our own sinful body to a body that's imperishable, which I believe is of the Spirit, do you believe is this what Jesus was talking about when say you must be born again of the Spirit to have eternal life?
Well, no, Tracy. I think there's a spiritual rebirth that happens to us here and now. So when you responded to the gospel, you were born again. You were made new in Christ Jesus. And God sent his Spirit to take up residence in you as a deposit guaranteeing what was going to happen to us in the future. And part of that is the resurrection of the body. So we're going to have bodies, physical bodies, that are immortal, that are imperishable, exactly like Christ's resurrection body. So that wasn't just a spirit body that Jesus was in. That was a physical body. People could touch him. People could see it and behold it.
He ate.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we're going to have a body just like that, but it'll be a body that can never die. So these bodies that we have now, they're going to die. They're still subject to sin and death. And one day they're going to give up the ghost, so to speak. And all that's going to be left is this shell, this empty tent. And that empty tent is going to be buried or whatever. And at the great resurrection, when Jesus comes back, this body is going to be called out and it's going to be made new. It's going to put on immortality. It's going to put on the imperishable. And it will be a body that lives forever. So at that point, the entire salvation is complete. Mm-hmm. So we have the spirit first, as far as this new birth is concerned. The spiritual aspect of our humanity has been made new. Our minds are being renewed as we grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. And one day our bodies are going to be changed completely, and we're going to have resurrection bodies that will never die. That make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Hey, thanks, Tracy. Yeah. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
You bet.
Well, let's go down to Waco, Texas, and talk to Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
I just have a question. It's kind of a split. I've spoken to a couple of people about it, but I just wanted to see what you thought the Bible taught on what comes first, regeneration or faith. What you thought on that?
Well, if you're a Calvinist, you're going to say regeneration precedes faith. That's one of the tenets of Calvinism or Reformed theology. I think everybody else is just going to say it's all kind of a part of that salvation experience. But here's what I think the Bible teaches is that it's by grace through faith in Jesus. So the grace of God comes first, and then we respond to that grace in faith. And I think that's biblical. I think that's mm-hmm. what the Bible teaches us. So instead of thinking of it as regeneration then faith, I think we should just put it in terms of the Bible and say it's by grace through faith. So grace comes in the form of the gospel message, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that grace does its work through faith in Jesus. And so all of that is happening kind of at an instance in time. And so we can try to dissect it and really get to the particulars of it, but God doesn't lay that out for us. Mm-hmm. So I think if we'll just stick to what the Bible says and keep it as by grace through faith in Jesus, I think we're going to be A-okay.
Okay, I see. Thank you. That helped a lot.
Well, good deal, Mark. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Great question.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, we got this call overnight.
Hi, this is Kobe from Salem, Oregon. My question is, I had someone that was close to me die on Easter. His religion was Mormon. He did have some doubts, you know, like the books that he didn't really believe in. You know, might just want to know if he'll be in heaven with me or if Mormon religion is a cult and all of them go to hell. I'm curious to find out where he goes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Kobe, that's a very interesting question, and you know, here's the reality: you're either dead in Adam or alive in Christ, mm-hmm. and all of us come into this world dead in Adam, and there's no religious system, there's no philosophy, there's nothing of human invention that can get us out of Adam. He's our family head; we're just in him. It takes power, the power of God, to take us out of Adam and place us into Christ, to take us from death to life. And that is a by grace through faith process. So it's the grace of God that makes us alive together with Christ. Now, Mormonism, when you look at it and dissect it, you see it's a works-based religious system. And as Paul said on numerous occasions, that no one will be declared righteous in the sight of God through obedience to the law, and that there's no law out there that can impart life to us. Mm-hmm. We can be the best law keepers on the planet, but we're still dead in Adam. And the only hope for us is the grace of God, the power of God, that can take us from death to life. So it's that death, that burial, that resurrection. And Jesus Christ is the one that does that. And so if we're not looking to Jesus and putting our full weight of trust in Jesus, we're going to remain dead spiritually. And when we die physically, then that judgment is going to be sealed eternally. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an eternal death, an eternal separation from God. Those who receive Jesus, who say with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead, then they're made alive. They cross over from death to life. And when they die, they're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And one day they're going to experience the resurrection of the body. So it's, you know, what's the fate of your Mormon friend? Well, if he tried to earn his way into heaven through obedience to the law, that law couldn't impart life to him. So he died dead spiritually, and that's going to be his eternal judgment. If at any point in his life he received Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the one who was with God in the beginning, who was God and became flesh and dwelt among us, if he received that Jesus, then he was made alive. And even though his body died, he still lives. He was absent from the body and present with the Lord, and he will be with the Lord forever.
Yeah.
So it's not about a religious system. It's not about works. It's not about those things. It is by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, Kobe, hope that helps. Thanks so much for your call today. Thank you for being with us on Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow for a teaching edition. It will be our final installment in the book of Ephesians, so join us for that. Again, that's tomorrow, our teaching edition through the book of Ephesians. Now for Richard Pfeiffer and the entire ministry team, for Bob Davis as well. So long from Dallas, Texas. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.